Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Thank you for joining us for Season 2 of South Haven Business Beat. Our July sponsor is TJ's Animation Workshop.
On the surface, an animated video can give viewers an overview of what your organization does or simply educate your audience on a topic. Under the surface, your content can pique a viewer's interest enough that they initiate contact with you, and hopefully, you come away with an opportunity. But how do animated videos accomplish these things? Animated videos are computerized images that move. With animation, we are able to put a heavy focus on the message that your viewer receives. We do this by reinforcing the audio with video. For example, if the goal of your animated video was to increase awareness about how you serve your customers, then we would create a video that shines a spotlight on the problem you solve, the solution, and the process you go through to get that solution. With the visuals being an animation, your viewers aren't going to want to take their eyes off the screen.
Contact TJ's Animation Workshop today. Call 662-590-8301.
And now here's your host, Aaron Kozort.
Hello, I'm Aaron Kozort, and this is another episode, a very special episode of South Haven Business Beat. We are here with the Bouchelon brothers, and we are going to talk about the history of South Haven, and they know it because they lived it. Introduce yourself, if you will.
Well, my name is Barry Bouchelon. We grew up in Hernando. I moved to South Haven in 1973 and became a State Farm agent in 1978.
That's great. And Mr. Peck, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, everybody calls me Peck. I've been known there since a little boy. I came to South Haven in April 26, 1962, and went to work for the Postal Service. I was fortunate enough to, God led me in the right direction. I went home one day because I was flunking out at Northwest. I was a trainer on a football team, and I drove the baseball team and a track team all over the state playing games and stuff.
Right.
And that's all I did was drive, didn't study. And I decided I was going to join the service, and two of my high school friends and I went home to tell our parents that day. And used to be a bus that ran from Horn Lake to Northwest every day, and the students would ride back and forth every day.
Right.
And then catch a local bus and go home in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I rode up to Hernando and told my mama what I was planning on doing. She said, "You need to stay and talk to your daddy." So I said, "Okay." And she said, "You need supper." And I said, "Well, I'll catch a bus back in the morning." And anyhow, stayed and talked to him about it. And he didn't have no problem with it. He said, "If that's what you want to do, do it."
Right.
And so that's what I did. And then I decided I was going to catch him back to Senatobia, back to Northwest.
Right.
And he taught me to ride in the baseball with him. He was a head of Frank Smith's representative from Mississippi. They combined his and Jamie Whitten's district, and they had to run it off.
Right.
And so I stayed there and listened to that. And they got through, and the interchange out here, my daddy was trying to get done for South Haven. There wasn't an interchange at that time. And he talked to Mr. Smith there after the meeting, and Mr. Smith told him, said, "I talked to Robert this afternoon, and Robert's got to have a crew him next week to survey it off and start it off."
Right.
He was talking about Robert Kennedy.
Right.
And anyhow, they settled on that. And he asked my daddy, said, "What are you going to do about the postmaster job down there? Who we gonna put in there?" Excuse me. My daddy told him, said he didn't have no idea. He didn't know nobody that about nothing about post office, didn't nobody who would want to be. And because the job didn't pay but $495 a year at that time, worked 2 hours a day, made $33 and some odd cents over 2 weeks.
Right.
And I had to pay the rent of the building. But anyhow, that lasted about 2 months. And Mr. Smith, and they was going back and forth who to put there, who to get to do that, anything. And he said, well, Pick, you want the job? And I said, yes, sir. So he gave me the job. That was on a Monday night. On Saturday morning, Postal Inspection Service swore me in up here as acting postmaster. I served that for about two or 3 months. I don't remember exactly. And my appointment was a political appointment.
Right.
By the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
And that's when I became postmaster. And the way they rated the post office back then, by revenue. Mm-hmm. Amount of stamps and stuff you sold. And after that time, we went from a bottom of the fourth class office to a third class office, which gave me a raise.
Right. Now, how much did stamps cost back then?
3 cents.
3 cents.
Yeah.
So you were rated on revenue.
Right.
And the majority of the revenue was from selling stamps. And it was 3 cents per stamp.
Right. And a postcard was a penny.
Yeah.
And you can mail in town envelope for 2 cents.
Okay.
At that time.
Right.
Like you mail something in Hernando, a bill in Hernando.
Sure.
It cost you 2 cents.
Right.
If you went from here to Hernando, it'd be 3 cents.
Right.
And a lot of that went on trains. They throwed it off the trains back then.
Right. Right.
And then a mail truck would come in the morning time.
Believe it or not, they may have handled it a little nicer than the mail sometimes does today. And they were throwing it off of a train.
Yeah.
So you got the position of being Postmaster General here in South Haven because...
I was just playing postmaster.
Okay, postmaster. Because you said yes when someone asked you, do you want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't, they were, you know, needing to find someone. And one of the things that I go back to is, as I talk, especially to younger individuals, is you never know where the opportunity, where someone says, will you do this? And you just say yes. You never know where that yes will lead you to.
No.
And so when someone walks up to you and says, will you do this for me? Or we need this, can you help? The easiest answer, the best answer is always just yes. And figure out where it leads you in the future, because you never know when it turns into a lifetime opportunity of service of being involved in a city because you just simply said yes when you didn't know any better and you didn't know what you were getting into.
No. But I've always said I'm not lucky. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it. God put me there at that place at that time. I could have got out at Senatobia and told him goodbye and saw him the next day.
Right.
But you don't ever know what God's got in encounter for you. You're blessed.
Yep.
And people need to take more of the opportunity to look what God has for them every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, as you think about that, what are some of the things you saw change in the city of South Haven as you were postmaster?
Where was the first post office located?
It was down in what we call the Allied Investment Building.
Okay.
Down the highway. I don't know what's down in there.
It's at 51 and just before you go across into Tennessee.
Right. Okay.
Where Forest Drive comes into that building 51. Down there.
Right.
That building right there.
Well, that's where Jimmy Bland has his
down there.
Karate
school.
You okay?
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors. Follow App. The Follow App is the long-term solution for networking, instantly connecting you to those frequently missed opportunities to find the right referral partner or new client to grow your business. Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, Then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. Would you like to be a sponsor? Contact Debbie King at 662-342-6114 for more information. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat and host Aaron Kozort.
So a few things have changed about the city in your day. So tell me about some of those changes and any stories that go along with some of those changes that you all both have experienced.
I want you to tell them about how people knew how the population of South Haven in the beginning.
We had a water department here run by John Henry Brew and his wife, Jewel Brew. They were really the backbone of the town at that time. Ms. Brewer, she did, every time somebody moved in, they had to have water and put a water meter in. Well, she took a survey, I guess, of how many grown people in the house, how many children.
Right.
And she kept up with it. And the husband, John Henry, every Friday afternoon, it was a sign on the west side of 59 in that curve right up there.
Billboard.
Right.
Billboard. And he would go up there and change what the revenue was.
Population
was. And that's the way they kept up with it. And when I came in, it was less than 200.
Right.
When I came in. It wasn't nothing. State Line Road was gravel. And they were just putting down, they would call themselves paving it.
Right.
Putting down pea gravel and tar.
Right.
On it.
Right.
Then. It wasn't nothing built on the north side of State Line Road.
Okay.
It was subdivision come up to the top of the hill up there where the old Gaymark Shopping Center was. And Mr. White lived in the White House on top of the hill out there.
Okay.
And where Dale's and all that, that was his property there.
Yeah.
Here. And
that was the center of town.
Basically it was. Yeah.
So how big was Hernando at that time?
Hernando about 1,200, yeah. Something like that.
1,300.
So very, very different ratio between present time and then, yeah, where Hernando is a much smaller city than South Haven is. Mm. So as a city of 200 people, you become postmaster. What happens next?
Well, we stay in that building tonight. Not 97.
67.
We moved up here in the Gaymark Shopping Center, what it was called then.
Right.
Jerry Gay was the owner of the property.
Jerry
Gay?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Gay was the owner of the property.
He built that that shopping center.
Right, right.
And we stayed there until we built this new one over here on Airways.
Yes.
I left about the time they built that one. I was here up to time, and then I went officer in charge of Tupelo, Mississippi, over the north part of Mississippi, northeast part of Mississippi, where they had a distribution center over there. And I ran that for a while. And then the opportunity to Senatobia come open, and I lived in Senatobia, so I decided my last 2 years, I stayed there.
So what year did you leave the post office in South Haven?
98.
36 years after he started.
36 years, yeah. Seeing other people's mail go by.
Right.
How did the post office change in that time?
Well, it went from the post office department to the postal service. Which we saw a lot of different changes because it wasn't a department of the government at that time.
Right.
After it changed. And I don't know. Basically, all of it stayed pretty well the same, except when we was the post office department, we was all in Mississippi.
Okay.
And after that, we went into Memphis. Under them, the distribution center,
right
up there, and we basically stay there to today. You know, they still operate the mail out of Memphis.
Sure, sure. So what other things were you involved with through the years here in South Haven besides the post office?
Well, Rotary Club. I was one of the...
Charter members?
Charter members of it. I can't remember. It was either four of us or five of us that started it. And it was a good thing. We grew.
Right.
Yeah.
So for those who may not know, what is a Rotary Club?
It's a...
International Service Club.
Okay.
Let me jump in. The reason why is that my brother was... Peck was the charter member in 1972, March 1st, I think is when they got chartered. The Hernando Rotary Club sponsored South Haven. So that became, we became, or South Haven became the second Rotary Club in South, in DeSoto County.
Right,
and,
right.
And Rotary is international. It's your personal business. It's four avenues of service. Your business, yourself, your business, your community, and then international. And they're like, Rotary's in about 126 countries or more. It's helping to eradicate polio across the world. But locally, it instills ethics in how you operate
right.
As a person, as a business. Mm-hmm. Now, my brother Peck, I want to jump in here, was a charter member in 72.
Mm-hmm.
I became a member after Peck had dropped out of Rotary in March 1st of 77, 5 years after it was chartered. And I'm still a Rotarian today, 47 years later. And so I'm very proud of what Rotary has meant to DeSoto County. But some of the city leaders that Peck is talking about, Bob Williams, Mr. Bill Baskin, Mr. Joe, I can't think.
Crawford. Of,
Crawford, that's right. Crawford and others were the initial nucleus, like you mm-hmm. said. Will you help us come and start this civic club in South Haven?
Right,
they
right.
said yes.
And yes.
Because they said yes, you know, 50 years plus later, 52, as of March 1st of this year, Rotary is still serving the community of South Haven.
And again, you know, you're already highlighting again that concept of just saying yes.
Yeah,
you never know where that yes is going to lead, especially when you say yes with a servant's heart, with a mindset, you know what, I can help serve. And everybody plays a part. Some people play a larger part in something. Some people play a smaller part in something. But you know, without someone getting it started, you know, you may have only been in Rotary for, you know, 5 years back at that day and time, but yet here you are 50 years later, and what you started is still in existence, yeah. is still helping. You mentioned polio as one of the main goals in the past for the Rotary Club and still presently. But what are some of the other areas that the Rotarians focus on?
Well, they have what they called... student exchanges over the years where a student from a country like Brazil, or we've in South Haven Rotary, we've had a student from Brazil, I think France, etc. And they would come and stay with a family for an extended amount of time, maybe a year.
Right.
And vice versa, we would send students locally, didn't have to be Rotarian students.
Right, right.
And then we... Rotary is involved with scholarships and projects, funding in our communities that promote education, promote solutions to poverty, in corporations, in communication between different types of fields in communities, business leaders, et cetera.
So it's an opportunity for businesses, for business leaders to give back into the community,
yes.
to reach their hand back to that upcoming generation and bring them forward, to give them an opportunity, you know, whether that be in the form of a scholarship, in the form of some opportunity they wouldn't have otherwise, to be able to have a better future than they might they would without that Rotary Club taking an active part. And so it is a great opportunity for business leaders, for businesses to give back to their community and make an impact, make a difference.
Join us next week for part two of this three-part series as we look at the history of South Haven with Peck and Barry Bushelin.
Please visit www.southhavenbusinessbeat.com for more episodes. We would like to thank the following sponsor, Pure Focus Media. Have an event coming up? Let us capture all the moments that will create memories that will last a lifetime with our professional photographer and videographer. Also announcing our new digital selfie photo booth. Book with us today. This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Want to join the South Haven Chamber? Visit www.southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe. Thanks for watching.